The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read one verse of Scripture this morning as my text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, where the Apostle Paul writes these words, "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Let me read that again. "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." My subject for this morning is your election of God. The truth of election is no vague subject of Scripture. The truth of election is inferred or implied all throughout the Scripture, from the book of Genesis all the way through all the books of the Bible, all the way to the last one, the book of the Revelation. So, again, I say the truth of election is inferred or implied throughout all the Scripture. God Almighty reached into the Ur of the Chaldees and chose a man called Abram. God Almighty chose a man called Moses. God Almighty reached down and chose a woman called Deborah to deliver and judge his people Israel in the times of the Old Testament. God Almighty reached down into Moab and chose a young woman named Ruth. And God Almighty chose a man named Saul of Tarsus. And also Solomon, we read. The truth of election is inferred or implied throughout the Scripture. But not only that, the truth of election is referred to in the Scripture. Listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ prayed. This is what men commonly call our Lord's high priestly prayer. And that's so. There's no problem with that. John chapter 17, listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said there in John chapter 17 and verse 6. He said these words, "Praying unto the Father, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Do you hear that? Do you hear what he said? "The men which thou gavest me out of the world." There he's talking about election. He's talking about the 11 disciples, excluding Judas, of course. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me." That's the subject of election referred to in the Scripture. But not only that, listen to John chapter 6, what our Lord said there. Of course, our Lord was given the 11 disciples by God the Father, but it's more than just that. It's more than just the 11. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6, and beginning in verse 37, he says these words, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, of that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves." Now listen to these words. Listen to what he says, verses 44 and 45. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God." All who? All that the Father gave to the Son. That's what he's talking about. "And it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me." So we see here clearly that not only is the truth of election inferred or implied through all throughout the Scripture, but the truth of election is referred to throughout the Scripture. And not only that, the truth of election is mentioned all throughout Scripture. Listen to what our Lord said again to the disciples in John chapter 15, I believe it is, and verse 16. Listen to what he says. He's talking to the 11 disciples. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Do you see that? Election is an act of God toward men. Election has nothing to do with men's acts toward God. Christ is clear, talking to the disciples, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Also in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, we see that the truth of election is mentioned throughout the Scripture, where the Apostle Paul speaks of Rufus, a man that the Apostle Paul loved very much in the Lord. And he said, Rufus, a servant of the Lord, he said he's chosen in the Lord. And also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, put on as the elect of God, bowels of mercy. You see, God Almighty has chosen a people even before the foundation of the world. And we see this truth, that is the truth of election, taught in several lengthy passages in the Scripture. Take your Bible sometimes, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and read verses 1 through 14, and there you will see the truth of election taught plainly and clearly in the Scripture. Also, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the whole chapter, as a matter of fact, you will see the truth of God Almighty's sovereign will in choosing a people, unto himself, taught in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. And then also, I would be remiss if I did not mention Romans chapter 9, especially verses 1 through verse 29, where we see that the truth of election is taught in a very detailed way. And I want to read you just a few verses from Romans chapter 9. Let me begin in verse 11 and listen to what it says. For the children, what children? The children born to Rebekah and Isaac. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Did you hear that? That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works. So you see, the election's not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. So you see, clearly, the election had nothing to do with the children's doing any good or evil. They hadn't even been born yet, and it had nothing to do with their doing any good or evil. The election is not, as some try to imply, that God looked into the future and seen who would believe, or seen who would believe and repent, or seen who would believe and repent and join the church. It had nothing to do with that. When God looked at mankind, according to Scripture, God seen nothing but total corruption. God looked down from heaven, Scripture says, and seen that there's none good, there's none righteous, no, not one. But here we read, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's right, that's what the Scripture says. This is what God said. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, that is, God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You see, election is not a subject of debate. God-called preachers do not debate truth, they proclaim it. Election is not a subject limited to seminary. Election is not a subject for pastors and deacons and really deep thinkers among Christian society. Paul broaches this subject of election to the whole church at Thessalonica, a church full of former idolaters and probably many former slaves and serfs. As a matter of fact, a very uproar commenced at Thessalonica within 3 weeks of Paul's preaching the gospel in Thessalonica. You can go back in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. Why is this so? Because when the gospel is preached in its truth, it glorifies and honors God alone and gives no credit to fallen, Adamic
human men and women, and men and women are offended by that truth. God Almighty has a people, and God Almighty set His love on those people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And salvation is theirs. It will be theirs. It will come to them through God Almighty's free and reigning grace. And fallen Adamic man hates that truth. Ah, but those who are called by that truth, those who have been chosen by God the Father in Christ before the foundation of the world, they are brought to love this truth. So again, I say, election is not a subject of debate. Those who preach the truth don't debate the truth. They simply proclaim the truth as it is. Does the subject of God's election of a people anger you? Well, according to Scripture, especially in Luke chapter 4, verses 28 through 29, if this subject angers you, it is clear that it's anger against God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, one day in His hometown, taught a message, and He said there were many widows in Israel, but God didn't send any prophet to them. He sent His prophet to a woman of Sarepta, and He said there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Naaman, but God didn't send any prophet to all the lepers in Israel. He sent a prophet to one Gentile. That's election. That's God Almighty choosing to whom He will be merciful and gracious, and God Almighty leaving others to themselves. And it says in that passage that these people were filled with wrath when they heard these words. So I say to anyone this morning, if the subject of God's election angers you, then there is no doubt it is anger against God Himself. Do you claim to believe Christ? Do you claim to believe Christ, and yet you attend an assembly of others who claim to believe Christ, and yet you've never heard about God's election? This is a sad thing, because according to the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul desired the people of Ephesus, who were saints in general. They were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted them to know what is the hope of God's calling, and that hope included election by the Father, redemption by the Son, and calling out and sealing by the Spirit of God. You see, maybe someone says, well, I'm a believer, and I gather with others who say they're believers, but election's not taught that way. Well, there is but one way of election, and that is election by God. I want you to listen to 2 Thessalonians. Let me turn there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and listen to what it says. And for this cause, verse 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Who? These people that He had just said in the verse prior, that they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. You see, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, he said there's a distinction between you and others, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. So you see, the election of God is not based upon who God seen would be saved, but the election is God purposing who would be saved. That is, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So again, I'm not trying to persuade everyone who professes to believe that somehow you're one of the elect, but I'm saying that the elect of God are brought by God through the sanctifying influence and work of the Spirit of God, and through the preaching of the gospel, God Almighty calls out each and every one of the elect to believe the truth. If you have never heard the truth, you could not have believed the truth. The Apostle Paul is clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And yes, that's true. But he also says, how shall they How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now hear me. Hear me this morning. The salvation of these Thessalonians, the salvation that these Thessalonians experienced is the only salvation of God that exists. There are not several different ways. The salvation that these Thessalonian believers, the ones to whom Paul said, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, the ones to whom Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks for you, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. The salvation that these Thessalonians experienced is the only salvation of God that exists. Anyone who is saved, anyone who has ever been saved, they have been saved and are being saved exactly as these Thessalonians were saved. Any experience of so-called salvation that is not equal to these Thessalonians' salvation, it is not salvation. Do you hear my words? Do you hear what I said to you this morning? I said, anyone who is saved, they have been saved as these Thessalonians were saved. Any experience of so-called salvation that is not equal to these Thessalonians' salvation is not salvation at all. So my question this morning that I want to answer is, what is salvation? And who are the elect? Men like myself and others have often said, well, we don't know who the elect are. And that's true in the sense of we don't know the names and the number of those that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. God hasn't marked the elect with some mark so that we might see them and know who they were, because the election took place before the foundation of the world. But nevertheless, be that as true as it is, yet Paul says, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. So there is a way in which we can know who the elect are. There is a way in which we can know who it is that is really saved. Now, again, I say there is no doubt. I read to you 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. There is no doubt God Almighty chose to save everyone who was ever saved. If anyone believes the truth of God, it is because God Almighty chose them to that. God Almighty chose that they would believe the truth. He did not choose them because he foreseen they would believe the truth. They believed the truth because God Almighty chose them to it. Because exactly as the apostle Luke writes in Acts chapter 13, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. So God chose to save everyone who's ever saved. There's no doubt about that. But no one simply starts believing. Let me read that verse unto you again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. But now listen, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Do you see that? There is gospel calling. There is gospel conversion. And gospel calling, gospel conversion, is that which manifests who the elect are. Now let's go back to my text of this morning. And let's read it again, but let's read the remainder of what Paul says with that, where he says, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. So first of all, how do we know who the elect are? They're the ones to whom the gospel comes in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Assurance concerning the person and work of Christ. The gospel is a message of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the gospel comes, and through the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God, the gospel lays hold of those that God chose in Christ before the world began. and that gospel lays hold of them and draws them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It calls them out of their ignorance and out of their corruption and out of their unbelief and calls them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one just starts believing. This believing is an act of the sovereign God, so much so that he says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." This is who the elect are. This is how you can know who the elect are. When the gospel is preached, the elect, having been set apart by the Spirit of God, having been regenerated by the Spirit of God, that gospel preaching calls them into faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the Apostle Paul said, in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And preaching what? In that chapter, it's clear, the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So hear me. Again, I want to tell you, the salvation that these Thessalonians experienced is the only salvation of God that exists. Anyone who is saved, that person, every one of them, has been saved exactly the way these Thessalonians were saved. That is, God Almighty. Before the foundation of the world, God Almighty chose those people to be set apart by the Spirit, the sanctification of the Spirit, and to believe the truth. And He calls them unto that belief of the truth through the preaching of the gospel. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ proclaimed, that truth grips the heart, mind, and soul of the elect of God. That truth proclaimed arrests the heart and the mind and the soul of those that God chose before the foundation of the world. That preaching of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it conquers the heart and the mind and the soul of every elect person. And when that person is set apart by God in regeneration, then that message draws out the God-given gift of faith in Christ and love for Christ. You see, when men and women hear the gospel preached and it has no effect, no spiritual effect, no, it draws them to no faith and no love toward Christ, then there's no reason that person has for believing that God Almighty chose them. Ah, but when a person hears the gospel preached, and the gospel comes to them not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, and that gospel grips their heart and their mind and soul so that they cannot get away from it, that they're drawn to believe it, that they are, according to the psalmist, as he says in Psalms 110, that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Willing to what? Willing to believe Christ. Willing to trust Christ, willing to cast their all upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Even as the Apostle Paul says, I know, he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What did Paul commit unto him? His all, everything, my very soul's well-being. My very standing before God, I cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason this man Saul of Tarsus, who previously hated Christ, but yet God had set his love upon that man Saul of Tarsus before the foundation of the world. And God the Father had chosen him, and he chose him to salvation. How? Just like everybody else, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto God called him by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, such faith and love is neither isolated nor stagnant, according to what the Apostle Paul says here, because he told these people, remember, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. How do I know you were one of the elect of God? The election took place before the world began. How can we know that? Because, he says, for, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord. But then look at what it is. Not this faith and love is not some isolated, stagnant kind of thing. Look, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You see, when God Almighty calls out the elect by his gospel, it'll leak out on them. Others will begin to realize that something's different about this person. Oh, they may not comprehend the truth of it. They may not comprehend the magnitude of what has happened to that person, but they'll know that something's happened to that person. That person, having been chosen by God the Father before the world began and redeemed by Christ on the cross of Calvary, the Holy Spirit is sent into that person to breathe spiritual life into their soul. And God Almighty will then send a God-called, ordained messenger of God of the gospel, and he'll preach that gospel into that person, and they'll be called out so that this, for from you, Paul goes on to say, so that you are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything of you. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which hath delivered us from the wrath to come. So we see that, again I say, that such faith and love as this, such faith and love that is wrought by the Spirit of God and called into manifestation through the gospel, such faith and love as this is neither isolated nor stagnant. According to the scripture, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And those that God chose, God the Father chose before the world began, they will agree with the message of God's Son. They will agree with the truth of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel will call them unto the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that which, in other words, the message with which people associate says it all. You see, if you associate with a message that rejects election, denies election, then you're associating with a lie. But those who associate with the truth, those who love the truth, those who believe the truth, it is a clear manifestation based upon the promise of God, knowing, brethren beloved, Paul says, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Why? Because the gospel of God laid hold of your soul by grace.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.